Joining us for another episode talking about software security and application security, we have today an esteemed guest, one of my former colleagues at MITRE, Alex Summers. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here. Very excited about it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I think you play a critical role in driving change at MITRE around software assurance, and I think, you know, you'd be a good guest to talk to and kind of talk about some of the things that you are doing at MITRE, some of the improvements we can see with CWE, and thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and involvement with the CWE program and kind of how you got started and some of the things you're responsible for with the CWE program?
Yeah, sure. So, CWE has a bit of a long history now. It actually grew out of the CVE program, which is a little bit older, but, we just recently had our 15th anniversary for the CWE program. And my role, I haven't been around that long on it, but there are members of the team who have, which is pretty cool. And my role at this point is I'm the deputy project lead that sort of oversees the day-to-day research, both the ingestion of community submissions, the research associated with, identifying and enumerating weaknesses and attack patterns within KFEC as well. And from there, sort of just also engaging with the community with our intended, focus now, which is that to provide, the most value to them when it comes to weakness knowledge, attack pattern knowledge in a consumable and understandable way. And so that's my role.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the key improvements made to CWE over the last couple of major releases that the community should be aware about?
Yeah, sure. So while it's not officially set in stone this way, we typically have a release, or what we might call a minor release, every 3 months or so. So like on our quarterly basis. And these are typically what, include such things as like a small set of new weakness types or expansions of children entries or parent entries to further enumerate like existing entries that we already have. Sometimes minor releases can focus on, content improvements in certain domains, for example, like cryptography topics, including key management or randomness. But our last major release came about a year and a half ago, where we expanded CWE scope for the first time from strictly software related weaknesses to include also hardware related weaknesses. And since that time, we've had several minor releases to grow and strengthen and improve that section of the corpus from, basically zero entries to around 100. And in so doing, also gathering the necessary and difficult relationships between hardware and firmware and software between some of the entries that we have as we start to add new hardware weaknesses, right? So that's a complicated thing sometimes. But most recently, I'll say actually on October 28th, we just released CWE 4.6, which is actually anchored by the first ever inaugural CWE Most Important Hardware Weaknesses list. And this was made possible through collaboration and engagement with the hardware design and manufacturing and security communities by way of our hardware CWE special interest group that meets on a monthly basis. So we're really excited about that.
A part of me feels like CWE is still not used to its fullest. It seems like it's still not fully adopted. And I always scratch my head about that and wonder why, people just haven't codified like CWE, practices into how we build and develop software. It always blows my mind about that.
Yeah, I mean, part of the situation is it's been around for a long time, but it's always been done sort of in a subject matter expert and domain area expert situation where you have both researchers from the community, academic, industry, or also just within the MITRE team, that are really sort of heads down at times identifying weaknesses and figuring out everything that you'd want to know that's enumeratable, about these various weaknesses. And connecting those to the users is something that we are starting to try and improve and grow, such that the usability and the consumability of that information is done in a more, I'll say, ingestible way, right? So understanding exactly what our community members need is really what we want to focus on. And that's what we're trying to do now in that way.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think about like, who are your consumers, right? Because on one hand, we have the developer community that is, you know, not as aware as they should be, I think, of CWEs. On the other hand, we have the whole standards community, which isn't necessarily a community per se, but, you know, we have security standards coming from OWASP, CWE, CERT, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I've seen some, more alignment now, right? Like looking at UL that reuses CWE. I think that's a good trend. I think that would help both sides of it, both the people trying to create standards and people trying to actually just secure their software using CWE. If we had, if we had the one standard to rule them all, it would probably be easier, right?
Yeah, I hear you, Arthur. I mean, that's definitely a challenge. I mean, on the one hand, what we've tried to do in this regard, in addition to sort of, working with these other bodies that have, what you might call standards or sort of guidance around materials and things, that we want people to be aware of. What we do most recently is through user engagement, get some of our users in the room with us where we can talk with them directly. And that's quite a varied group. We've actually, one of the first things we've started to do through one group that we've recently set up, which is called the User Experience Working Group, the CWE and KPEC User Experience Working Group. What we've tried to do with them is have them articulate what we're calling their user persona type. So what is it that they do? Are they a system security engineer? Are they an OEM software developer? Are they a risk assessor? Are they a penetration tester? All these different kinds of roles that they self, sort of describe. And then going from there, and you have your user persona type, but from there, what's the user use case scenario, so to speak? Are they mapping vulnerabilities that they discover to an underlying weakness, right? Are they trying to better understand, trends that they're seeing in their developers or their designers' practices that they want to avoid? These are the things that we're trying to do through community engagement, such that we can see, okay, you need this. These are the most important things and most important information you need. How can we best present it to you in a consumable way so that we can see the best impact towards your mission?
Speaking of trends, the OWASP Top 10 2021 just came out. We're on the heels of that. And we noticed that SQL injection, cross-site scripting, whatever, injection type attacks are not number one anymore. Are you seeing the same type of things that you guys kind of plan for the CWE top 25? Are you seeing any movement or any activity in terms of, the analytics you guys collect that kind of, suggest the same?
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. I mean, one thing that we do, as many people may be familiar with to a certain extent, is our top 25, in addition to mapping to things like OWASP. And the way that we do that historically, at least with making the top 25, was through sort of a survey analytical model of domain area experts and otherwise. But a few years ago, we actually switched to being more data-driven and statistically rigorous through using CVE record data in the National Vulnerability Database. I will say, using CVE and NVD as our methodology, focuses on severity and frequency of certain weakness types therein, does have some biases, including the types of weaknesses that you might see in that data set, right? So, for example, languages like Python or Java that are, have more automatically managed ways of dealing with memory. So you don't have weaknesses related to buffer overflows or memory exhaustion as you might see in languages like C, for example. So if you were to make like a top list of Python related weaknesses, we'd probably need a new methodology or criteria or data set to a certain extent from which to calculate and rank, right? One thing that touches on this is that we're trying to improve the navigability or the searchability of CWE through a function where someone can sort of distill, our 900 plus weaknesses down to certain things that they're interested in, right? So if they're particularly interested in one particular language, right? we actually have a first crack at this type of thing in all three of the main CWE views. So there's the software development view, there's the hardware design view, and the research concept sort of big tree of weaknesses. And if you go to one of those, after the header and title information, you'll see a little filter view button where you can select things like code language or applicable platforms or consequences, right, related to a weakness, to get at a list of the things that you care about, right? So in addition to the new top list that we're making, or those that are editorialized necessarily by community groups, like the Hardware SIG most recently, or the, you know, the top 25 product that we do that goes back, I like the idea of this kind of approach too, where someone might be able to create their own top list, right, of any kind at any moment, if that makes sense.
True. I you brought up something interesting in terms of how you guys leverage both CVE and MVD. What came to mind just now is, you know, it would probably be nice if you guys were able to get access to the data collection that OWASP use in terms of, you know, the application scans, static analysis scans, obviously is anonymized, to kind of use as an additional data point to kind of help drive and inform, you know, how you guys do some of your rankings and some of your planning around CWE.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Kevin. I mean, we do have a really good relationship with a lot of those OWASP guys. And from there, you know, we've actually had some feedback on some of the things that we do with our new methodology that I described around using CVE data and MVD, you know, within MVD at NIST. And within NIST, there's some researchers that say, well, you know, if you're looking at this data set, what really matters sometimes is looking at severity and frequency, but maybe severity might be a little bit more important at getting it, you know, if you see a lot of a weakness, but perhaps, you know, it's not, it's very prevalent, but at the end of the day, it's not the most impactful, right, where you have such a severe outcome. And so then we've heard different things from different groups about that and saying, you know, maybe there's a different way to look at this. And I think top lists are really valuable to drive awareness right, of some of these issues, right? And so they're really valuable in that way. And I'm always keen to hear from different groups about like different ways to capture information that would be impactful to organizations' missions down the road in different ways, right? Because that's, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, is improve everybody's you know, security, improve everybody's processes such that they can achieve on their missions and not be bogged down in mistakes that can be avoided.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Alec, the obvious question that occurred to me, you know, SQL injection is obviously near and dear to my heart, right? I have the SQL injection Hall of Shame that I run. But I ask myself, did we actually start doing a better job, or is just the rate of attacks increased more in a different category? If there's just as many injection attacks as before. Do you guys have any indication like that?
We're starting to see trends. It's actually funny you mentioned that, Arthur, because like I said, we switched to this new methodology, you know, where we're using CVE data within NVD in 2019. And so we are literally just now at the point of, I think, being in a fair position to look at the trends. Because the way that we're doing it is that we're using previous two calendar years to calculate, you know, the list each time. So in 2019, it was the previous two calendar years to look at the most severe and frequent weaknesses, right, in our calculation. And then we've got three iterations of that, right? And we are starting to see trends, right? One thing that we know for sure is that within the data, the mapping is improving, right? So we know across the CNA community and MVD itself, but CNAs are better reporting CWEs. So they're not, for instance, mapping a weakness necessarily to its most high sort of broad category level weakness. They're getting down to the more actionable, okay, this is the specific type of buffer overflow, like a format string buffer overflow. And this is much more actionable, I think, for developers as they work to know that, okay, it's not just input validation. Everybody knows, you know, that could apply to so many different things. It's really neat to see that trend. As far as other trends too, we are seeing certain things move in our data where it's sort of like, you know, our number one, I forget what last year's was, but it did switch to the number one being out of bounds write, which again is of course sort of related to buffer overflow. But we're starting to see things move up and down, right, from, you know, lower level sort of top 10, you know, to farther down in the top 25 in some cases. And then we're also seeing big jumps in other things move up the the top 25, so to speak. And that's really interesting to see, you know, over the years.
You brought up something that kind of, you know, jolted my memory. The guidance for the CNAs in terms of how to report and kind of do the mappings to CWE. I remember working on that with Roshi and Steve Christie. So I'm glad to see that's being used and kind of adopted to help improve the quality of our mappings. I think that's important. I mean, we need better mappings for sure. So
I agree too. Yeah, no, I remember that too. And that's a really great thing. And if people are interested, that's right on our site under mapping guidance, right in sort of the middle of our menu on the landing page. And there's different ways to get at, you know, if you've got a vulnerability that you're trying to understand the underlying weakness for, you know, we want you to be able to do that quicker. And there's several techniques for doing it. But yeah, it's a great resource. And I think there's only good things to come from people understanding the root causes of vulnerabilities over time, right? As that gets more understood and people start to avoid these things in the future, we're going to see hopefully less vulnerabilities overall.
Well, we probably should be wrapping this up. It's been great so far, but before we let you go, I definitely got to ask you, what's next for the CWE program?
Yeah, so I mean, fundamentally what I'll say is we want to continue on the progress that we've made in community engagement over the last few years, right? Our goal is fundamentally to provide value to the public so that our information is consumable. It's ultimately usable to a variety of what I mentioned before as what we call our various user personas. We've gotten back feedback over time that our information is not always as consumable and usable as we'd like, and there's room for improvement there. So this past year or so, we took that action to begin engaging the community directly through a variety of groups. Like we stood up the CWE and KPEC board, as I mentioned, the hardware CWE special interest group, and of course the user experience working group. These meet at different cadences with specific focuses so that we can collaboratively find ways to improve our content and how we present it, and also strategize about the kind of things we can do to provide value to the community. And of course, our attributes of value remain engagement, completeness, technical rigor, ease of use, timeliness, and relevancy. And these things, I would say, when we talk about what's next, more and more community engagement so that we can provide what the community needs.
Well, you know, Arthur and I are huge proponents of supporting industry type communities such as CWE, CVE. If there's anything that, you know, we can do in terms of Parasoft and helping move forward the conversation, engagement, you know, please let us know. We're only an email away. So any parting shots, Arthur?
I was going to say there's, you know, what we've mentioned here is several interesting little tidbits around CWE. And I encourage listeners to go to CWE and move past the top 25, but also move past the regular view, right? Like dig into some of this other information because it makes it all far more valuable.
No doubt. This has been great. Before we leave, I'm going to give you the last parting shot, Alec.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do appreciate it. It's wonderful to have been here. I appreciate the opportunity. And I do encourage others to check CWE out. We'd love to hear from you, too. You can always reach out to us at CWE@mitre.org. It's probably the best way to do it. But I always put it like this. The more developers and designers understand and implement the knowledge that we have captured in CWE, I think the less vulnerabilities are going to be manifest to the world in software and hardware. So let's stop making the same mistakes over and over, right? thanks so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. We appreciate you, man. Keep up the good work.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye.